I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I am here with all of the tools today. Everyone's back. Everyone's safe. We're home. Hoping to be safe from the Delta variant and not go into quarantine round two. Looming its ugly head around the corner. We'll see, hopefully. Well, it's a dry cough, so you're good. But we have a special show for you guys today. We're doing something we've talked about doing for a while. We're going to be talking about Position U, which college football programs produce the most NFL athletes by position. Then we'll be continuing the series where we go over the ESPN rankings of the top 10 players at each position. We're just going to finish the defense. We started last week. We did the O-line, defensive line, interior linemen, edge rushers, and linebackers. We'll be doing safeties and corners this week. We got a little bit of news for you, but first, let's bring you the tools. Fresh back from his beachfront house vacation, we have Coach Brandon Lumber.
It's like literally a 5-foot beach.
It's
on a lake, and there's like this stupid beach that everybody always says, "Oh yeah, we'll take the kids there," and then we never actually go there. We go to the pool because nobody wants to be at that stupid beach.
Yeah, and lake water's got like, unless it's like a big old clear lake, lake water.
Oh, it is.
Stink smell to it.
Oh no, this place, it's like you can see down. Like,
oh, that's
nice. Yeah,
it's beautiful. Oh yeah, then we got CJ McLaughlin back from his 1 week hiatus. How you doing, bud?
What up, man? I'm ready.
You over here? You about to be a degree man?
Yeah, you know, don't tell all my business, but yeah, I'm silently grinding.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to put it out there that you're wise and knowledgeable. My bad. I take it back. You friggin' idiot.
Yeah. I don't want people to know that. Look,
Nate Parker,
the man who usually thinks he's the smartest in the room is usually the dumbest. So all I right. don't, you know.
Confucius say, "What's up, Nate? How you doing, man?"
I'm doing.
Oh, that was bad timing.
Yeah, I'm like, did my nickname change to Confucius? Because
nope.
I wasn't.
That was directed towards CJ. It just so happens I talked to the Asian guy right after. That. yeah. So glad everyone's good. Glad we're here. Let's jump right into it. So let's talk about, there's some weirdness. This is going to be a weird conversation, as always, but veteran journeyman Barcavius Mingo, I think he was like the 6th overall pick to the Browns back in the day. Thought that he was going to be a great outside linebacker, fierce rusher. He was an athletic freak, but he got busted. Well, he's being accused by
good job, parent. Boy.
Oh, the cues, the change up.
Good job.
Like,
yeah.
All right, there we go.
Allegedly.
Barcavius Mingo is being accused by parents of two boys. I'm not sure why the boys, why he was, he took these two boys to a theme park over July 4th, and then apparently he took the boys back to his hotel room, and there was some inappropriate touching going on, and it's a very odd situation. But needless to say, the Falcons dropped it like it was hot. They cut him immediately, even though it's just accusations. But, man, I don't know if you've read into him, but it's not looking good. Charges carries a maximum 20 years in prison in Texas where he's being charged. And it's the 13-year-old boy said there was, like, some groping. It's very shocking. I don't think we've ever had anything like this from an NFL player before.
Dropping it like it's hot is a great metaphor.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
I can't go there.
And look, this is just one of those things to where hopefully justice is served. If he did such, you know, lewd acts, and by all means, he deserves to be thrown in jail and, you know, throw away the key. But unfortunately, we've seen acts of, you know, just people trying to get money out of celebrities. So I don't, like I said, I don't want to, you know, allege anything, or I want to stay neutral here. It's a messed up situation for sure. But
just, I mean, we'll just like we did with Deshaun Watson, it's innocent until proven guilty, man. It's the way it works in America. So, like,
well, his lawyer did come out and say it was a flat out lie. I think you mentioned extortion type of thing, and how disappointed he was in the Falcons for just straight dropping him.
Wow. There will probably be a, like, if he's cleared, again, innocent until proven guilty, there will probably be a wrongful termination suit at some point.
It's just tough with kids, man, especially someone that young, like 13 years old. That's a hard one to stay look, like, innocent until proven guilty on, you know?
I'm not going to lie. I know who Barkevious Mingo is. Didn't know what he looked like. And so the only judgment that I have here to make is to look at it. He did it. He did it. I just looked at it. He did it.
Oh, my God.
That's how CJ's gotten out of jury duty his whole life. He just comes in and he's like, I know if a mother trucker did it just by looking at him.
But he didn't touch that white woman, though.
Man, he's got a weird expression face. He does.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we're talking about, but
we're talking about Barkevious Mingo's face. That's what we're talking about.
I got that much. I was just,
well, this happened in 2019.
Yeah, so it's been
it's been brewing.
Yeah, we'll see. In lighter news, the Washington football team's president has said the Warriors is not an option for a new name. I'm not surprised here. I know there's been one guy who, like, copyrighted a bunch of different names that they were considering for the Washington football team.
Smart.
And they don't want to pay him because Daniel Snyder's. Because that sounds like something Daniel Snyder would do, and he doesn't want to appreciate some other guy doing it to him.
Yeah.
But Washington football team, I thought it'd be fun. Like, you got any good names here?
Washington.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, if Warriors isn't good enough, I don't know what they want. Like, the Washington Warriors with some alliteration, it sounds good. Maybe it doesn't have enough, you know, racial context behind it, maybe.
Maybe it could be the Washington Insurgents or
the Washington, like, the Washington Rebels.
I think that they should get rid of the name Washington and use D.C. and then a name.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
I like
that. Ooh. Not DC United, but we could be DC Divided.
There you go. DC Divided.
Can't imagine what you're referencing there, Woody. Can you elaborate?
DC United, the soccer team, and for the U.S. to be DC Divided. So the Chiefs, Frank Clark. Oh, wait. Did y'all think of any other names? Any other good ones before we move on from there? No?
Degenerates. Oh. DC Degenerates.
Racist.
Wait, how is that a racist term?
Yes.
No. What? Degenerates can be any number of different races. That's not a racist term.
I was just joking, but you're right.
Well, I mean, I'm looking it up because I'm not surprised. I found out, like, picnic. Like, I had no idea. Picnic is considered a racist term.
Wait, what?
Google it. I couldn't.
I think you're thinking of a different word.
Which, no, I swear. Hold on.
Picnic with an NY at the end.
No. Hold on. Fact check. The word picnic does not. Okay, Reuters fact checked it back in 2020. All right. Well, I guess it was They were connected to lynchings, I guess.
CJ's muted. I don't know what he's saying.
Thanks for bringing that to my attention. I'll never go to another picnic ever again.
They're all cookouts.
Every cookout. No more cookouts.
At my family reunion, on Fridays before the actual reunion, we have something, and it's called like the Clark Family Picnic or something. I gotta email them guys and be like, hey, we gotta stop saying that.
Hey, we need a new name.
What is you call them potlucks now?
That's white folks, I think. I ain't never been to a potluck.
Is white folks potluck? Is potluck a white folks thing?
I don't know. I mean, I'll go to somewhere and eat some soup, but as far as potluck, you know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, a lot of food, like we don't call it
crock pot dishes. Like, you know, casseroles and whatnot.
Pot and gumbo.
I'll eat some gumbo. Gumbo, good stuff. You don't like gumbo?
Man, you know Brandon and turkey and cheese, like this motherfucker.
Why do you always say that?
Because
it's not ham and cheese, at least. You used to say ham and cheese, but at least you got that right. You remember. I'll eat turkey.
Yeah.
Apparently, Reuters fact checked this, and it's not fact.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
We can still have picnics and cookouts.
There's a word that's similar to picnic that is racist that I think whoever told you that was thinking of. So, Frank Clark may not have some trouble this season. Playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was pulled over a couple weeks ago. And he had an Uzi sticking out of a bag in his back seat. Just in plain sight.
What's wrong with that?
He's
black.
No, I think it's illegal to own an Uzi. And where... Yeah, it was in Los Angeles.
Oh. You know,
that's the
first
worst.
First thing I think of is Rodney King.
Can't even have a squirt gun in L.A.
He's got a squirt gun! He's black! Yeah, so Frank Clark,
chain today.
We are. We're back in the saddle, baby. If the Chiefs miss playing Frank Clark for the season, what is how much does that hurt them?
A lot.
It's minimal. Like it's a big loss, but it's minimal when you look at the constructs of their overall team. Right? Like, they don't win with defense. Obviously, you need guys to rush the passer, and it makes them that much more of a contender. But let's not be honest. Would you rather him go down or Patrick Mahomes? Would you rather Frank Clark go down or Chris Jones? Would you rather
Frank Clark go down or Kelsey? As long as they have Chris Jones in the middle, they can create a pass rush. You don't have to have a great defensive end outside when you have Chris Jones demanding two in the middle.
Yeah, plus you got what? Is it Spag? That's the DC,
yeah,
right?
They got another guy. Yeah, they blitz from all angles. So you really don't know where it's coming from.
And lastly, on the news, we have N'Keal Harry, who is requested to being traded from the Patriots. Now, do you think N'Keal Harry obviously was a first-round pick, and he's shown flashes. He's got a big body. He's very athletic. He's got good speed. Do you see N'Keal Harry being able to blossom somewhere else into a productive NFL player or a bust?
I mean, he's still young, so he has a chance. I wouldn't say flashes, though. Those flashes you saw, I must have missed those. I mean, like, I see the talent.
When I say flashes, I mean he's very good at running after the catch with the ball.
I feel that. Because I was going to say, if I was to make it to the NFL and I catch one pass, well, I guess that's a flash.
Sure is.
You know? All right. He had a couple hundred-yard games.
Did he?
Yeah.
Probably. Okay. I mean, look, I was big on Harry coming out of college, out of Arizona State, but...
Wasn't N'Keal Harry Arizona State?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Arizona State.
Oh, man, I didn't even realize that. Nice. Another Pac-12. Gotta keep track on the man now. Well, that's going to wrap up our news section today. Well, N'Keal Harry, do you see anywhere? Well, what's a good place that revives wide receivers that can kick dirt on talent? Normally, we'd say New England. New England likes taking talented players that have panned out.
You know, there's a misconception about New England, though, right? Like, you either go there and your career prospers or it dies.
Yeah. There's no middle.
Like, it's no in between.
Uh-huh. Chad Johnson, RIP.
Exactly. As far as prospering, I don't know if this is a fact, but when I think of revitalizing someone's career, I think back, I want to say in 06 when Brandon Lloyd led the NFL in receiving when he played for the Broncos, and that was like his flash in the pan.
Yards. Yeah. He had a couple other 1,000-yard seasons, but that was the big one, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting to keep a track on. That leaves the Patriots. Obviously, they didn't go after wide receiver, really. So their number ones would look like Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne was brought in free agency, and then you got Jacoby Myers. But they will be running a lot of two tight end sets. I imagine we see Hunter Henry line up at wide receiver a lot, too.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, that's true as well. All right.
Well, that's he seems to be made of glass.
Yeah. Those hammies, the soft tissues, as CJ always says. Once they grab
money now.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying the man.
They're paying his hammies to stay healthy.
Welcome to 5-Tool Trivia.
Hey, what it do? You know, I always bring the magic. I do my research, you know, all night, all morning. I really dig deep for, you know, a lot of the stuff
voice,
that I...
Watch your voice. Watch your voice. Deep. I really dig deep. Deeper than you ever seen before.
Without further ado...
I come up through your nose holes.
All right. Since
they call me
Brandon are trolling me, Nate, I'm going to ask the question... And you get to go first. Matter of fact, them. This question is for you. They're not even part of. Nah, I'm playing, fellas. All right. We're going to go to Nate first, and then we'll kick it to Brandon, and we'll let Woody bring up the rear.
Woody goes last.
Bring up your rear.
Through your nose, Hans.
All right. So, which college football program has the most players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Ooh,
ask it one more time.
You did research this. You liar. This is great.
Which college football program has the most players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Had you already researched this?
No.
So you did find a trivia for today.
Yeah, my opening for the trivia was all sarcasm.
I'm going to say USC.
That's not a bad guess, but I don't think it's right. They're up there.
All right. So Nate says USC. Brandon, what you got for me? Which college football program has the most players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I want to say Notre Dame.
I was going to say Notre Dame.
Pitt. Some random school like Pitt.
Maybe Penn State? But I'll say Penn State.
And what he guesses is Penn State.
Penn State.
Right. So, which college football program has the most players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Notre Dame has 13. Brian, you're correct. University of Southern California also has 13. Nate, you are correct.
Wow.
Just to round out the top 10, you got Michigan at 11, Ohio State at 10, Miami and Florida tied at 9, Pittsburgh 9, Alabama 8.
Pittsburgh 9?
Syracuse.
Pittsburgh
9. Syracuse 8, Minnesota 7, and Illinois 6. Now, obviously, over the next 20 years, that list is going to change a lot because Alabama's going to go from 8 to probably like 15 guys. Like, seriously. Yeah. So.
No, seriously.
Pitt's going to add.
Is Penn State nowhere near
one more?
Aaron Donald, yep.
Penn State, nowhere near there?
I'm surprised. Not in the top 10.
Wild. I figured with Joe Pa, they would have had somebody.
You know, when you look at Penn State, at their history, it's a little more to be desired. Like, they're kind of snobbish about who they are as a program. Like, they don't have a lot of conference championships. They only have 2 national titles.
They were independent for a while, too. And then they joined the Big Ten.
Brandon, high five. You got it right.
Yeah, way to go, dudes.
Oh, yeah, good job.
Virtual high five.
Good job. You guys are starting to, I don't know if, like, early in the year, you guys were getting, like, nervous or something during the trivia, because y'all was horrible with the exception of Woody. But now everybody's starting to come along, so now we might have to go from, like, level, you know, I've been raising the levels. We're at, like, level 3 right now. Might have to kick it to level 6 with these trivia questions.
Nice. Into it.
You know.
That's going to wrap up CJ's Trivia Corner. When we come back, We're going to be looking at the NFL's top 10 cornerbacks, according to ESPN. We'll be right.
Hey, guys, this is your boy CSPN, and you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps the CSPN eye test, but let's be real. The numbers do matter. If you want to make sure the numbers match your eye test, give our sister site a check at www.footballscout365.com. Football Scout 365 has become my go-to source for situational football scouting and analytics tools. Football Scout 365 offers advanced NFL, NFL draft, and fantasy football analysis to help you take your knowledge of the game to the next level. So head on over to footballscout365.com and join for free today. That's footballscout365.com.
All right, let's dive right into them ranking of the NFL's top 10 cornerbacks. We have the number one overall. Yes.
Jalen Ramsey.
So we went over, thank you, yes, it is Jalen Ramsey. So we went over the edge rushers, interior defensive linemen, and off-ball linebackers last week, me and Nate. So we're going to be looking at the cornerbacks and safeties this week. So the number one overall, now the way they do it, they ask a bunch of NFL GMs to send in their rankings and front office people. And so they do it in accordance with like how many top three votes you get, how many this. And so Jalen Ramsey's highest ranking overall is number one by people that voted. His lowest ranking is number seven. Some people have been as low as seven. Those people should all be fired, I think. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is just absolutely disgustingly talented cornerback. Like,
yeah, he is.
Well, but I mean, Xavier Howard, there's an argument for Xavier Howard, obviously.
That number seven ranking for the front office personnel that voted for Jalen Ramsey to be number seven, I mean, it's understandable. And the only reason I say that is coming from someone who got a lot of mouth, who talk a lot of sometimes when it come down to the rankings, you're going to get docked. That's what it is. Ramsey just talks a lot. People out there don't like him.
No, that's true. And then number two, I thought this one was surprising. I agree with it. I would put him this high, actually above Xavier Howard.
Yeah, for sure.
Who'd you say? Jair?
No, this is actually Marlon Humphrey from the Baltimore Ravens. Marlon Humphrey, probably one of the best man coverage backs, cornerbacks in the league. And there's a great comparison of him on here where GM compared him to Peanut Tillman from the Chicago Bears from their great defense with Urlacher and Lance Briggs back in the day. I like that comparison. Very physical, tall corner, can play a lot of man coverage, but his specialty is stripping the ball. He has a lot of strips from guys catching the ball, just like Peanut Tillman did.
Humphrey's a absolute dog. I love watching him play just because he's a physical corner, right? Like, Ramsey is physical. Ramsey's a specimen, but Humphrey is... I think Humphrey plays more physical than Ramsey does, and that says a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because Ramsey's a physical corner, but I love the way Marlon Humphrey's... He's a great athlete, too.
No, I agree 100%. I like that the pickup of Peters... Last year, I think he's a perfect complimentary corner for a guy like Humphrey because Humphrey's just so glue on the guy, and Peters is a big ball hawk, so he gets a lot of errant throws, and I think it's made him into the best he could be. Number three, Brandon, you brought him up earlier, Xavier Howard. He's been, like, the best corner interception-wise the last 2 years in the NFL, right? Three?
Yeah,
he's been up there. And then, so we've talked about him a lot on this show. Oldie but goodie, Stephon Gilmore, even after the injury last year, GMs are still respecting him. He's still up there. He's 30.
I think it's kind of disrespect, actually. I think
I agree. He should be two
to slide him. Yeah, I mean, how can we justify sliding him down to four when he just won defensive player of the year? I know he was hurt last year and all that. And look, you ain't got to preach to me. Best ability is what, Nate?
Availability.
There you go. But by the same standpoint, man, I've seen these same front office personnel put Saquon and Barkley and Christian McCaffrey over guys that can stay healthy. So I don't know. Like, I just want some consistency. Stephon Gilmore shouldn't be lower, in my opinion, than two.
I mean, I have a hard time seeing him pass two at over below Marlon Humphrey. I'm surprised. That surprised me that Humphrey made it that high. I like Humphrey a lot, but as the number two corner over Gilmore, that's a lot. This is, you're talking about an ex-NFL defense player of the year.
They're going after Gilmore probably because last year was probably arguably his worst year in recent memory, yeah, obviously, COVID. For him. But he had he gave up a 96 passer rating into his coverage. So, but prior to that, though, he was elite.
I agree.
The prior 2 years, even leading up to that. So.
And then number five, my personal favorite corner in the NFL. This guy is just so fun to watch. Tre'Davious White, Buffalo Bills. He's just a model of consistency. Not the fastest cornerback in the league, but he's very aggressive on the ball. And he's come up big last couple of years. Big spots, big games, especially in the playoffs.
Oh, man, I don't like this list at this point.
Really? Where do you see? Well, his highest ranking is 2, and his lowest ranking is 9, which is ridiculous.
I mean, we haven't said Jaire Alexander yet.
I know.
That's what I have an issue with.
Jaire Alexander is number 6 on the list. He's coming up at, I think it's because of his ball skills that people have dropped him. Last year's ranking, he was an honorable mention. He wasn't even in the top 10. He's only 24. So this year, his lowest ranking is 9. His highest ranking is 3. So you see front office guys sometimes react a little slower to young guys that are entering in the upper echelon. I think that's what we're seeing here. And we'll see Jaire.
And because of that, I think it's easily to justify that he was honorable mention last year. Like, I get it. I understand that. But after seeing the season he had this year where he would literally lock down a whole side of the field, and he was shutting some of the bigger name guys down.
He's the entire reason that defense stood up and got them so deep into the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think the Smith brothers. Yeah.
Who's at number 5, Woody?
Number 5 was Tre'Davious White. I know.
Yeah. See, I would easily put Alexander over Tre'Davious White. I like Tre'Davious White.
Whoa, bro!
Easily.
What are you? No, wait, Tre'Davious White. He's pretty much reshaped that whole Buffalo Bills defense. He took over when they dealt Gilmore. He got thrown to the wolves. He's a true number one.
And look, and more kudos to him. But you know what Buffalo runs? You know their scheme on defense? It's a lot of cover too. So he really gets to sit. It's almost like Josh Norman when he was at Carolina. And then he leaves and he gets exposed. So I'm just saying
the scheme's a little bit tougher. All right, I can see that.
I think the scheme benefits him more.
And to be fair, he goes up against tougher wide receivers too, so you're starting to swing me over to your side in the division at least.
Alexander gave up only 350 receiving yards last year on 600 snaps, so that's pretty
nasty. Number 7, Marshawn Lattimore, which, by the way, he's only still 25. Seems like he's been in the league for like 4 years now. Did he come in at 20?
I think he was young.
I think he was in early.
Now, the one thing what they say about Lattimore here is his lowest ranking is unranked. He didn't make this list for some guys, but his highest ranking was number 1 by other people. But I think this one guy that's quoted in it anonymously, of course, he can show you one game where he looks like an all-pro, another where he looks like a complete train wreck. And that's Marshawn Lattimore. We've seen him get cooked, and we've also seen him stick like the best wide receivers in the league before.
Yeah, that's exactly my take on Lattimore. I think as far as talent, I think he's one of the most talented corners in the game. But when he has an assignment like, oh, I got Mike Evans this week, it seems like he rises up to that matchup. But then
he's made Mike
the next
Evans.
Week, you know, he's going against, I don't know, Gabriel Davis or
DJ Moore.
Somebody. And they just tear him up. So as far as consistency, I don't think I would have Lattimore in my top 10, because consistency outside of the quarterback position, like, your corner's got to be consistent. You can't be great one game and be bad the next. Like, that's terrible.
He's getting paid like a top 5 corner, though. So
yeah, he gave up 7 touchdowns last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow. And Woody, we had a conversation about something different, like, a little while ago about being consistently inconsistent.
Yep. No, that's true. I mean, it's more that's the thing. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. Someone making a smoothie?
Someone in my apartment is making coffee very loudly.
Denzel Ward. Last year's ranking was honorable mention. Lowest ranking this year would be 13. His highest ranking as of 3. I feel like we saw a lot more from Denzel Ward as a rookie. We saw some great, great, you know, potential. And last year he got a little banged up. And I don't think he ever really got on track but towards the end of the year. So I think this year will be more of a deciding factor. He could fly up into the top 5 possibly after this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ward has the potential to be one of the top 2 or 3 corners in this league. He reminds me a lot of Jair Alexander. The way they play, they're similar size.
Ward's got better ball skills than Alexander, though, already.
Well, which is common. You know, I would hope the longer in the NFL as a corner, the better you get at ball skills.
You know who Jair Alexander reminds me of? Ike Taylor. Like a very, very good, like Ike Taylor at his peak already in 24.
Yeah, I disagree, but where?
Well, you get, because he doesn't have the best ball skills, but he's a hawk. Like he can just shadow somebody.
Yeah.
Darius Slay, number 9. I feel like this is kind of like an old man, like being carried in, like still living off his name a little bit.
I don't like this pick. Like, based on the season he had last year, like, if you're comparing seasons,
I'm not sure what he graded out on PFF.
He shouldn't be in the top 10.
CJ, I know
you can move. If they move Gilmore back because of his performance last year, then Darius Slay shouldn't be on the list.
Slay shouldn't be on the list. If Gilmore dropped 4 slots, I actually agree with that. Slay shouldn't be on the list. But he is considered a shutdown corner, quote-unquote. Still, so that's
he's. Where's he at on that in that ranking again? 9.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
What do you think, Brandon?
Well, I mean, PFF has him 23rd. That's
I mean, look, that's not terrible. 23rd out of what 100 corners, 150 graded corner.
A position where you can have 4 on the field at a time. It's
right. So I mean,
bad, but 23rd sounds about right.
I burnt some toast this morning before we got on, and I thought of Darius Slay.
So we got J.C. Jackson at number 10.
So they're going to put him on the list at 10, but they wouldn't put Jair Alexander on the list, and he got honorable mention last year. That's interesting.
Yeah. I agree right there with you, Nate.
He was an honorable mention last year as well. His highest ranking this year was number 5, lowest ranking unranked. Then it goes to the honorable mention list. We'll fly through this.
Can I throw something at you guys?
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
So according to PFF, no corner in the league has been more productive than J.C. Jackson on passes of 20 or more yards downfield over that span. Jackson has allowed just 5 of 48 targets at the depth to be completed, tallying 11 interceptions in the process. So essentially,
he's the deep ball corner.
Yeah,
that's valuable to have.
I think you can easily put him ahead of Darius Slay right now.
Probably.
All I had to do is throw out one frivolous stat, and he's going top 10. Here we go.
Well, he's already he's already top 10, Brandon. He's 10th.
Well, according to ESPN.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's 16, according to PFF on here. So, I mean.
So the honorable mention list, you have Marcus Peters, we brought up earlier, Marlon Humphrey's cornerback mate. My boy Carlton Davis, you know I've sung his praises a lot from Tampa Bay. Big physical corner and like him a lot. William Jackson III, Washington football team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he signed from the Bengals to the Washington football team. And then it was. They maximized. Well, it helps when you have a pass rush like Washington.
It also helps when you're going against the receivers that you got to in the NFC East, too. I mean,
very true. Kyle Fuller, Denver Broncos, a guy who's never really gotten his due and has just been a consistent good player for, like, his whole career.
Fuller didn't get his due when he was at his peak and his prime. He's a little past his prime. He struggled a bit last year. I would still, when I watch football, I would still regard him as one of the better corners in the league, but I'm okay with him being honorable mention. There was a name, Carlton Davis. And who did you give me before Carlton Davis?
Marcus Peters.
Peters. I think those two should be in the top 10, and I would probably – I'd slide out J.C. Jackson and probably Darius Slay.
What about Bryce Callahan as well? He's somebody who plays – actually, he plays – well, he played more on the outside than he actually did in the slot, but he'll probably play more in the slot now that the situation in Denver is what it is.
It's funny you brought up Bryce Callahan on my Madden franchises – 2 years ago, I used to take him and build him up. He'd always get to like a 99. He was a beast in that.
Yeah. He's good, man. I just think he's overlooked.
Then we have Byron Jones. Man's getting paid to be a top five corner in the league. He's outside the top 10 here. The quote I see is interesting. Good player, incredible athlete. But something is missing here. Instinct's missing. That's what he said. Yeah. His ball skills just aren't there. And it's weird, but that's also, you could say they don't throw to his side of the field as much. That's why how Xavier Howard gets so many picks, like the Marcus Peters effect with Marlon Humphrey. So that's something to think about, too.
They sit in zone a lot.
Do like, they?
Xavier Howard gets those opportunities, too. So
If I'm not mistaken, Coach Lundberg, but Miami Dolphins run a lot of cover three.
Yeah, so he's
is that the thing? Which
he
Woody?
Can watch. I mean, he's watching for it.
Cover three, your corners still have man principles, but it's just I don't know. It's still man principles. So on a lot of plays, even though you're in cover three, you might be playing man to man. But you know, obviously, in that Miami Dolphins defense, you want taller, longer corners because the weak spot in a cover three is the fade route. And so they want to make that fade route as tough as possible. So that's why you have your taller, your longer corners. You look at Dan Quinn in Seattle, a few other teams, but
rounding out the honorable mention list, James Bradbury, New York Giants. I was a doubter when they brought him in from Carolina last year. I thought he was on the wrong side of his age. I thought he was regressing. But he had his best season last year as a corner. So, like, he really surprised a lot of people. He was a top 10 corner. Where'd he grade out of PFF, Brandon? I'm just be surprised.
Yeah, he made his first Pro Bowl last year.
I think he made one other one in Carolina 1 year.
Oh, okay, maybe so. You know, I remember James Bradbury the most from that game with Julio Jones at like 200 and some yards receiving against Carolina like five or 6 years ago. James Bradbury was a rookie.
And he's fifth on their rankings.
He was fifth? Wow. Word. All right, let's dive into the safeties, keep this rolling. Number one overall, who do you guys think it is? I think it's pretty obvious here.
Jamal Adams.
Nope.
Kevin Byard?
No, come on, guys. He's made some big impact plays in games.
Honey Badger. The Honey Badger.
No. Guys, come on. Make it fit.
Surprise me. All right. Yeah, I forgot about him because they got blown out by the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Minka can only do so much.
Jesse Bates for Cincinnati is really like...
You think he's the number one overall safety?
He's climbing.
Okay. He is 10 on this list. We'll get to him.
Okay.
Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, this guy's—he does everything. He can hit. He's got great ball skills. He's got one of those guys where you could quote unquote nose for the ball. Like he's just always around when like the ball pops out or something like that. He's an Ed Reed type that can swing a game like in a second.
Ooh.
Who's number two?
Very smart player.
Very smart player. Number two overall. Justin Simmons. We've seen him do this for the last couple years now. Last year's ranking was 7. He's up to 2 now. His lowest ranking on this list was only 5. So a lot of people, big believer in Justin Simmons. And Minka Fitzpatrick's lowest ranking was 7. So Justin Simmons, model of consistency. You can see why he's there at number 2.
Johnson, number 3.
Nope. We got Buda Baker. His highest ranking, number 1 on this list from voters. And then his lowest ranking was number 5. Yeah, no, Buda Baker is the only thing holding that secondary together. That like they did, it's not like they got good corners.
Buda Baker, was Honey Badger 2.0.
Yeah.
Like, he can play your nickel. He can play your safety. You can move him around. He's versatile.
It's a good comparison. I like that a lot. Number four on the list, some would consider number one. His highest ranking was number one. His lowest ranking was number 11, Jamal Adams. Now, I can see why someone would rank him as low as 11, because he's not your typical safety. In the sense, he's got good ball skills, good cover skills, but where he's really special is up near the line of scrimmage. Like, he can rush the quarterback like a blitzing linebacker. He's great against the run.
Yeah,
he's like Jamal Adams, but better. I mean, Cam Chancellor, but better at coverage, right? That's a good way to look at Jamal Adams.
Or maybe I got another. I hate doing comparisons, but
John Lynch-ish.
I was gonna say Troy Polamalu-ish.
Ooh, I like
athleticism,
that. Yeah,
running around in the box. Not great in pass coverage. Sometimes you'll see teams actually target him in pass coverage one because he's not a great cover guy, but. Secondly, because he's rushing towards the line of scrimmage, right? He wants to play the run. He wants to get in the box and make plays. So sometimes he has the likeliness to take a false step. And if you're a defender and you take a false step, that's the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the read rules for a linebacker. First step usually is full. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Number five on the list, Harrison Smith. I mean, this guy has been a decade great. Like, he's if the NFL had an all-decade team, he's a starting free safety, right? For the last decade? I'd say so.
Yeah, I'd say so, but he shouldn't be on this list now.
He's still big on with the making plays on the ball. Like, he's lost a step, but his positioning is still really good.
After I burnt my first piece of toast, I burnt my second piece of toast.
Thinking
and
about Harrison.
I thought of Harrison Smith.
He's still, last year it's hard to argue with Minnesota's defense last year.
What was the first piece of toast was Darius Slay, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. Second piece was Harrison Smith. Where's Smith is, you say six, Woody?
Five. Yeah, I think it's a crime. I think it's a crime that he's, because his positioning is still really good. He's a great center fielder, free safety still. The guy makes
you want to know why I'm going to say Buda Baker deserves to be where he is? He kept that defense together. You want to know what the Minnesota defense did last year? Nothing.
Yeah.
No,
You're that good. You're going to improve your team.
It's two games I'm upset that I haven't heard yet.
Number six should be much higher on the list. Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, are you kidding me? They put Honey Badger behind Harrison Smith?
Yeah, that's a crime.
Did a bunch of white people write this list? They're like, oh, we got to put Harrison Smith
in front office personnel. It was nothing but white
people. J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald wrote this list, actually.
I take it back. I respect the list.
You better.
But only the picks Aaron Donald made. J.J. Watt can go shove it.
JJ. I mean, Honey Badger, we've watched him transform two below-average defenses to serviceable. He had a huge effect in Houston when he was there. They didn't want to pay him. KC paid him. Look what he did. He came in and shored up the defense and made them special. We saw his effect in the Browns game. He pretty much single-handedly brought them back with his play. Like,
I think Honey Badger should be three.
I don't disagree there. I'd have him.
And look, it's... Even when he doesn't, when you look at the box score and the Honey Badger had three tackles, no picks, no tackles for loss, any of that, he still makes an impact on the game. He's that good.
And he's so
always
versatile.
Leaves a handprint on the game. He's versatile. And then just his leadership.
Yeah. The fact you could drop him in the slot and forget about it, that's invaluable for a safety. Especially on, like, say, an offense shifts like a running back. Out of the backfield, like into a wide receiver position on motion. Like, you don't have to worry. You can adjust immediately. He's going to shift into the nickel spot, and it's no problem. You're not going to lose any performance.
And to be as small as he is, he's great against the run.
Mm-hmm. And once again, the Ed Reed, I could take it to the house anytime I touch the ball. I guess Ed Reed was a little bit before your NFL time, right, Brandon? You were more of a college guy back in the day.
Brandon didn't start watching the NFL till 2 years ago. What you mean?
That's fair.
But he watched a hell of a lot of college football, though.
Ed Reed was really amazing.
Ed Reed was the best safety of all time, hands down.
Without question.
Not even close. Number seven overall. We mentioned him before. I feel like one of our less sung heroes in this position. He doesn't get the due he deserves. This is the guy we talked about, CJ, when I gave you the top interceptions for like the past, I think it was like three or four seasons. And the one guy that you couldn't get on the list because no one ever thinks Kevin Byard from the Tennessee Titans. He's been plugging away, holding that secondary together for a few years now, just him. And he does a great job. Lowest ranking, he's 12. Highest ranking, he's 5. Last year he was ranked 5. This year, he dropped 2 slots to 7. Brandon, did you see him on the PFF? Yeah, he's never going to win that.
He's 12 going into 2021.
Okay. Well, their secondary was terrible. I think the top 5 safety. With no pass rush, too. That's like what him being able to hold them together. That's the most impressive part. Like they had no pass rush.
And he was a good player for a bad team for a while too. Tennessee just got good over the last couple years. I mean, before they made the change at quarterback and started Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee was a bad team. But the one bright spot that they did have outside of Derrick Henry was Kevin Byard on the defense. Yeah, so.
He was the key. I believe he was the key component 2 years ago, defending Lamar Jackson in their scheme and how they set it up. In I think that was a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong.
Yeah,
it was a blueprint.
Number 8 overall, we're looking at Brandon. You brought up earlier, John Johnson III, and Brandon, you brought him up when we were talking about the second position. You thought he'd be rated second in the NFL. His highest ranking vote was for second place. His lowest ranking vote was 14. Whoever voted him 14, like what he's done on the back end of the Rams defense has been very impressive. I'm actually a little worried about the Rams secondary this year without having him in the back. I think there might be an adjustment period at the beginning of the season because he really held it down there and was able to keep people off the deep ball. What do you guys feel about John Johnson III? Obviously, he's in Cleveland now, just signed as a free agent. He'll be a great team up with Denzel Ward. That'll be a fun defense to watch this year.
I think where John Johnson was rated was fair. Now, we also have to mention he was a key cog in the secondary for L.A., but he also, you know, he played behind one of the best pass rushers in the league, too. So, you know, this coming year, we'll see if there's any fall off. Although, this coming year, he gets to play behind one of the better pass rushers in the league. So, you know, it was a good get for Cleveland. I like John Johnson. Yeah, we've been off air, off record, and, you know, we were talking about John Johnson like week 3 of last year, Woody. You know,
Of pass rushers, CJ, where do you think Myles Garrett ranks according to ESPN?
We went over it last week.
I would.
This is just edge rushers, not interior.
I'll put Myles Garrett number 2.
He's number 1.
He was number 1
for ESPN. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's number
TJ Watt first?
Yeah, TJ Watt was number 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Then John Johnson III. Derwin James coming in at number 9. Man, I'm surprised he's still on this list. Like he could be number 1 if he could stay healthy. The guy's an absolute freak talent. Just unbelievable. It's like an Earl Thomas Cam Chancellor hybrid. Like he could play
this
up
list
here.
Is so inconsistent. Like in the way they're ranking players, they're like, well, this guy's really, really good, but he had a down year. And they're like, this guy can barely get on the field.
This isn't based off data. This is based off NFL front office's viewing of the players. So that's why it's a little bit inconsistent.
Why so many franchises are absolute garbage. This is why.
Brandon, that's so funny. GM's probably passed this off. Like, hey, man, fill out this list.
They're like, I ain't got time for this. Here.
Who's
like,
your favorite?
There's something fun for you to do. Don't make me look dumb.
But Derwin James, if he can put it together, like, but that's a big if, man. That's 2 years in a row, 3 years. It's like two and a half years. He got injured his rookie year towards the end too. So if he can put it together this year, the Chargers are a force to be reckoned with because he shores up that defense. But Joey Bosa up front, that he changes how you view that defense if he can stay healthy.
If he could play a full season, I think he would undoubtedly be the best safety in the league. Like, when I watch him play, I see a lot of Ed Reed in him. You know, he takes the ball away. He can play in the box. He makes so many plays on all levels of the field. And he's similar. He's very similar to Jamal Adams, but he can cover better than Jamal Adams. So, I mean, Derwin James played some corner and some nickel at Florida State, which you typically see from the bigger corners that come out of Florida State. They're usually extremely versatile. So,
yeah, no, this is
I
true.
I just hope he can stay healthy.
Coming in at number 10, Brandon's favorite, Jesse Bates III. Highest ranking, 6. Lowest ranking, unranked, not on the list. And then obviously last year, unranked as well. Bates last year had a 47.7 completion percentage as the nearest defender. And that ranked 3rd amongst safeties. He had 15 breakups on 44 attempts.
He was a middle field safety too. So nice. Anytime you're getting a high number of pass breakups from middle field, You're finding the football.
Let's fly through these honorable mentions here. You got Eddie Jackson, Chicago Bears. Any thoughts on him? Bears have had a solid second.
Oh, man, I think Eddie Jackson has a legit case to be in the top 10.
Marcus May, New York Jets. He really surprised a lot of people last year, and they understood why they let Jamal Adams go when you got this dude sitting underneath him. Like, I was shocked at how well he did last year. And the Jets defense got solid by the end of the year. Guy I was surprised wasn't on the list, Marcus Williams, New Orleans Saints. One of the most athletic safeties in the league, but he's been knocked out of the top 10 for inconsistency. I think we see a repeating pattern here, yeah. One week they show up, one they don't. Then we got another young...
FFF had him at 4th.
Yeah, exactly.
Going into this year, like he's their 4th rated.
No, he's been, like on Madden, he's like the 3rd top rated safety, I think, like the last 3 years. Antoine Winfield Jr., fast riser, honorable mention. We saw him. I mean, anytime you're putting up numbers on a Super Bowl team, you got to get on there as a rook. Landon Collins, Washington football team. I was bummed out when the Giants let him go. But you felt his presence last year on Washington up near the line.
Nah, he shouldn't be on this list.
You don't think so?
He shouldn't be on this list. He shouldn't be honorable mention either.
Why?
He's not good. He used to be good. He's not good anymore. I don't think he's good anymore.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our ranking the NFL's ESPN's top 10 rankings for positions. Next week, we will start on the offense. They've done running backs and I think quarterbacks thus far. So we'll go over those next week. These are the dog days of summer, boys. We are just, biding time for a couple more weeks and we'll be in season 2 of the 5-Tool Sports Podcast NFL coverage. And for CJ, Nate, Brandon, and everyone over at Football Scout 365, our sister site, where we get all of our information that lead us to greatness. Go check it out. And shout out MCash with the fire theme song. We out, baby.
Man, we haven't been canceled yet. That's good.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to.
9 to 5 is something that I'm going to do.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cube.